If you have your Bibles, turn with me in them to Joshua chapter 18 as we continue reading through that book, chapter by chapter for the most part. And here we'll be looking at chapter 18, the whole of the chapter, verses 1 through 28. Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18, we'll start in verse 1. This is the word of the living God. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. There remained among the sons of Israel 7 tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide for yourselves 3 men from each tribe that I may send them, and that they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me. They shall divide it into 7 portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in their territory on the north. You shall describe the land in 7 divisions and bring the description here to me. I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave them." Then the men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, "Go and walk through the land and describe it and return to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh." And so the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in 7 divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. Now the lot of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot lay between the sons of Judah and the sons of Joseph, or in this case Ephraim. Their border on the north side was from the Jordan. Then the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north and went up through the hill country westward, and it ended at the wilderness of Bethaven. From there the border continued to Luz, to the side of Luz, that is Bethel, southward, and the border went down to Ataroth Adar, near the hill which lies on the south of lower Beth Horon. The border extended from there and turned round on the west side, southward from the hill which lies before Beth Horon, southward. And it ended at Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, a city of the sons of Judah. This was the west side. Then the south side was the edge of Kiriath Jearim, and the border went westward and went to the fountain of the waters of Nephtoah. The border went down to the edge of the hill which is in the valley of Beth Hinnom, which is in the valley of Rephaim, now northward, and it went down to the valley of Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite southward, and went down to En Rogel. It extended northward and went to En Shemesh and went to Gilaloth, which is opposite the ascent of Adummim. And it went down to the stone of Bahan, the son of Reuben. It continued to the side in front of Arabah, northward, and went down to the Arabah. The border continued to the side of Beth Hogla, northward, and the border ended at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan. This was the south border. Moreover, the Jordan was its border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families and according to its borders all around. Now the cities of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho and Beth Hogla and Emek Keziz, and Beth Araba and Zemarim, and Bethel and Avim, and Parah and Ophrah, and Shephar Ammoni, and Ophni and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon and Ramah and Beroth, and Mitzpah and Chipharah and Moza, and Rechem and Ir Pe'el, and Tarlah, and Zelah, and Ha-Elef, and the Jebusite, that is, Jerusalem, Gibeah, Kiriath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families. Now, thus far, the reading and God's word, may he add his blessing to the hearing and expounding upon it. Verse 1 opens the chapter in which we're given a description of all of Israel gathering. The tent of meeting is set up, which was where the ark was housed, the presence of God symbolized. And it happened at Shiloh. Shiloh, as we know, is about 30 miles north of Jerusalem. It's in the territory of Ephraim. But what should we notice is that this verse stands out like a sore thumb, because we've been talking about, we've looked at all these inheritances being given to Judah, to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the half-tribe of Ephraim, and now this comes up. Why is this verse here? Why would it stop to tell us that the tent of meeting was set up at Shiloh? It was this place that the Lord chose for the ark to rest. So this is the place where the worship, that the center of Israel's worship would be, until the Lord declared where his temple was to be built in Jerusalem, we know. But this is where primarily the ark would be until that time. And so we see here that in Shiloh, as we think of the times to come, as it's here in Shiloh, they are to worship faithfully. They're to worship faithfully, turning away from the many Canaanite gods and the worship centers and worshiping at this one central location. They were to worship joyfully. Deuteronomy 12:12 commanded Israel to that they shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates. They were to worship joyfully. And then they were to worship securely, for the Lord would give them rest from their enemies. Here, at least in the beginning, at Shiloh. As Zechariah saw and was glad that the time would come when the Lord would, he said, enable us to worship him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And so here we see a glimpse of God's intention for even us right now, that we are to worship him faithfully, joyfully, and securely. And then verse 3 begins there even. It starts in verse 2. The remaining tribes, the seven remaining tribes that haven't received their inheritance yet, God is describing it. Joshua describes it. The Lord, through Joshua, says that basically they're slacking. They're being lazy. God has given them their inheritance, their territory, and they're not taking it up. And so, in some sense, they're being described as they're putting it off. They're dropping the ball. They're not entering in and possessing the land. Joshua has to prod them here by raising up the three men from each of the tribes to go out and to scope out their sections. And the question is, why would they not want to receive their inheritance? Why would they be lazy here? It doesn't say why. We could speculate all day about why. We probably could come up with some good assumptions, but we don't know why. It doesn't say. But they were. They were lazy. They weren't taking up what they were supposed to take up. And so Joshua pushes them to what is inevitable. And we see as they receive their inheritance that the Lord is in complete authority. Three times, verses 6, verse 8, and verse 10. All declare that as the lots are cast, that it happens before the Lord. That the Lord is dividing up the land. The Lord is giving these territories, this gift to Israel, these seven remaining tribes. And so as we think about gifts that we are given, even the inheritance, which we look forward to now, having some first fruits here on earth, but looking forward to now, God gives us these gifts. Now let us not turn aside from them. Let's not be lazy concerning them, or put them off, or be slackers. He gives us gifts, we should use them. He gives us gifts, and we should cherish them and and love our God because of them. We should give over our whole life to Him because He's given these gifts. You know, one of these gifts we learn about in Ephesians 2, the gift of grace. In verses 5 through 7, you see once again, it's almost like a broken record. It repeats about all the tribes that they receive an inheritance. He talks about the territory of Judah and the house of Joseph. And then later he talks about Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They've already received their inheritance. And these seven tribes, he says, will receive their inheritance. And the Levites, they're not going to receive a specific territory because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. But he repeats that over and over and over. And here he does it again. And it's repeated because it's a main theme of Joshua. The receiving of God's gift of an inheritance. The promised land that was promised to Abraham. And perhaps we've seen other reasons how we should respond to this. Another reason that we are given, or another reason we should think about this once again is because it should guard us from pride. Sometimes our temptation to think that we are elite, that maybe we're not like those tribes east of the Jordan, Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh, that maybe we're a little bit better. That way we have a better church building. We have a better congregation. Maybe we think of ourselves as elite and rather than thinking of ourselves as elect. So we should guard against pride because we're all share in the Father's wealth and He gives us He gives us all an inheritance. It's described very similarly throughout the scriptures of the Christian's inheritance, and yet, in some ways, it's different in its various givings. The scripture says, because out of His fullness, we all have received even grace on top of grace. He says, for by one Spirit all were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all have been given one Spirit to drink. He also says, but to each one of us, grace was given in line with the measure of Christ's gifts. And so, though we might be diverse, and though our churches and various locations are diverse, yet we are still a part of the one church, the one body, which Christ is the head, and we all receive an inheritance. So let us not be prideful in the situation we're in, but thankful. Thankful for God who has given us the gift. Let's not waste the gift that He gives. All of God's children are important to Him. All are heirs of the same promise. All are brothers and sisters in Christ. So let us watch out for that temptation to think that maybe we're better than others. Calvinists sometimes think that we're better because we have this greater knowledge of Scripture. Let us not think that we are any better, but because God is greater, He is, as it says in Hebrews, He has allowed us to receive such knowledge. And then the rest of the chapter gives the details of the territory that went to Benjamin, a very small territory between Judah and Ephraim. Very small territory. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You that You are the God who gives us gifts. The God who sheds His grace upon us. That You, as we think of how Israel was given the tent of meeting in this place at Shiloh, and then later on Jerusalem and the temple was built. Lord, we thank You for what Jesus teaches us in John 4, that there's not just one location where we have to go and worship every week or once a year. Only one time that a high priest goes into the holy, we don't have to think about that. We don't have to deal with that, thankfully. We thank You for Your grace and Your freedom in that You've given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit which dwells in our hearts. And so we have the presence of God in us. And you even promise when two or three are gathered, there you are with us. There we are before your throne. And you command us, worship in spirit and in truth. That wherever we are, wherever we gather, it doesn't have to be in this place. We could be outside, we could be in a home. Wherever your people gather, that is where we are with you in the heavenly places. And so that's where we are. The sanctuary is not this place, but it's with you before the throne of grace. Because you have allowed us through the blood of Christ to enter in. And we thank you for that wonderful gift. Let us not take it for granted. And we pray that you would cause us to worship faithfully, joyfully, because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Faithfully, because you are strengthening us by the Holy Spirit to worship you in truth. And also, let us worship securely, for you have delivered us from our enemies, the enemies of sin and death. And we pray that you would continue our enabling us to worship freely, without the government stepping in and forcing us to be, in some sense, underground, like many churches are across this world. We pray for them, Lord, that you would enable, in your perfect timing, the growth of those churches, that maybe one day they would be able to worship freely, without fear of persecution or suffering. And yet, you've promised such things to us. Give them strength. And cause us to see their struggles and their suffering and glorify you. And may they glorify you because they're enabled to suffer on your account for the sake of Christ. And give them strength in their hearts and their minds and their body to continue to worship you because you have commanded it. And because it is such a great delight to worship you, better than death. I'll give them no fear of death. But let them trust in your love. And let us not forsake your gifts. The gifts that you've given to us, the gifts like justification or adoption. Let us not forsake them. Let us think highly of them and highly of the God who gives them to us. And let us live lives which are pleasing in your sight because you've given all these things, immeasurable riches to your people. Let us not live as slackers or lazy people. But take them up, proclaiming the awesome glory and love of the Father in Christ Jesus. Help our pride. Humble us, and wherever we are prideful, whether it's within the church, as it has to do with other Christians, or even just simple pride that leads us to sin. Where we have faith and where we believe, help our unbelief. Father, we do praise you that you are God who delivers us from evil. We pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from it. Remind us always of the great and glorious news of the gospel, even as Christians, that we would run always to Christ, and not to ourselves, not to others, but only to Christ, the one who paid the price of all of our sins once for all, at his death on the cross. We praise you that he is interceding for us at the right hand of God the Father. that He loves us, prays for us. And Lord, we know that You are a God who hears our prayers and answers us because of Him. And so we do pray in His name according to Your will. Amen.